and welcome back to the next episode of Main Character with me, your host, Andrea Marie Tita. Today, I am joined by my good friend and a singer-songwriter here in Nashville, Nikki Allen Lickstein, and we are going to be talking all things music, fitness, mental health, and just see where the conversation flows. So, Nikki, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
It took us a little bit to get here.
Yes. It's been in the making for a while.
Yes. So I'm honored that you wanted to come.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Yay. If you can, we'll kick off about your background, what brought you to Nashville, and a little bit about you.
Sure. So, I am from South Florida. I was born in upstate New York, but grew up in South Florida. Started kind of visiting Nashville when I was 15, 16 years old. I had started playing music at 5, playing guitar, picked up a lot of instruments along the way, jazz band, orchestra, always really artsy, dance, all that. And wound up kind of being discovered by the executive director of NSAI, who, Bart Herberson, he still works here, and he kind of was the one that told me to come to Nashville and see what's up. And that's where I found like my love for songwriting and what kind of led me here. I wound up going to Belmont University for my undergraduate with songwriting and music business. And that led to me meeting my husband here and getting my master's. And now I'm in Tennessee and I'm doing the music thing, to make a long story short. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. And I didn't know that part about the executive finding you. How old were you when that happened?
So I was 15. I thought I had told you this, but yeah, it's so funny because I don't really believe in coincidences. You know, I feel like kind of serendipitous. Everything happens. And I had been playing gigs in town. I mean, my parents are business owners. My mom's always been very encouraging of like, you know, put your card in a directory for local, you know, cocktail hours. You could play $20 an hour for music, you know, whatever. I was kind of learning those skills and building up that ability to play. But I was probably 15, because I couldn't drive myself because my parents were busy that evening. So my grandparents drove me. It was this brewery in Boca called the Funky Buddha. And there was a fundraiser going on for the songwriting caucus. And Bart happened to be in Florida for this event with this politician, and I happened to be playing guitar for this cocktail hour. And he gave me his card and was like, come to Nashville, let me ruin your life. And meanwhile, my grandmother is like, who is this man coming up to my 15-year-old granddaughter being like, here's my card, call me.
Yeah.
And he had said, you know, I worked with Taylor Swift when she was your age. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. Then my grandma gives the card to my mom. And then a couple days later, she's like, this is kind of legit, Nikki. Like, and at that time, I had already started a YouTube channel. I'd already been songwriting. I went to an arts high school, an arts middle school. So I was doing music hours a day. And I already loved music and loved writing. And I had discovered songwriting, but I didn't know that songwriting could be a profession. Yep. So I was still not aware that the people singing those songs on the radio weren't the ones always writing those songs.
Yep.
And I had yet, he would be the reason why I discover, oh my gosh, this is what Music Row is. This is how these come to be sung by your favorite artists and stuff like that. So that was a big catalyst for me moving forward. Yeah.
I love that. And I think it's like, you need people to kind of see something in you that maybe you didn't see yet. And especially being 15, like you were probably just like enjoying it, but you're like, I don't know. Like,
he remains a mentor to this day. I just saw him last week. I've always known music, I guess. When people are like, oh, did you know? I mean, that much I've always known. When I was 4 years old, I remember seeing guitar for the first time. This girl in my class brought one in for show and tell. And I don't know why, but like that was just, that was it. Like I was like, okay, that'll be what I do. And most people, you know, even if they have that thought at four, maybe they change that thought, right? Like years progress and they're like, yeah, I wanted to be this, but now, but for me, it was kind of like, okay, that's what I want to do. When I was 5 years old, I started guitar lessons. I've always had kind of big hands. And so that was an advantage to me because I was able to play like the not baby songs. Mm. So like the first guitar song I learned how to play was Stand By Me. And I was 5 years old. And like, that's not, you don't see a lot of 5-year-olds playing Be King, you know?
Yeah.
And so I jumped right into that. My dad's always had a great taste in music. So even though my parents aren't in the music realm, there was music around me. And I, you know, did some drums and some piano. And there's a program called School of Rock. I was involved in that. And I always thought, I'm going to do something with music. That's what I'm kind of made to do. That's what makes me feel the most calm and the most at peace. And then separately, besides my music interests and talent and endeavors, I always enjoyed writing just as an outlet. I always kind of had some mental health things growing up, and writing was just there for me. I liked creative writing assignments. And in middle school, it was my English teacher that kind of was like, hey, just so you know, like, you might want to think about putting these two things together. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, you know, I don't know why I hadn't thought about that, because I love listening to Taylor Swift. I listen to Billy Joel. I mean, there's tons of inspirational singer-songwriters that I listen to. But for some reason in my head, those were kind of like, Nikki can play guitar and sing songs that she likes. Nikki can write. But I never was like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And in eighth grade is when I truly started songwriting. And summer going into freshman year is kind of when, like, I started a YouTube channel. And I told my parents, I remember I sang them a song in the car, because we used to do this thing called, like, the song game in the car, right? And me and my sisters could either, like, pick a song to play or sing a song that we want to sing. And I sang one. My mom was like, what is that? And I was like, oh, I wrote it. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And when she said that, I said, oh, like, that was kind of good then, huh? Like, you thought maybe that was a real song. And I remember at my sleepaway camp, I somehow just was feeling brave enough, and I played an original song of mine at the talent show. And the end of that summer, it became like a thing. Like, people would sing the song, like, when I was walking around the camp. And, like, I'm like, oh, that's not typical. Like, that you play a song at a talent show and then people are, like, repeating it and sing it. And so that wound up being my first song that I recorded and put on iTunes. And it was really because my camp friends liked the song. And I was like, okay, well, enough people want to hear it, you know, whatever. But 15-year-old Nikki and meeting Bart and doing all of that, it's very different than where I'm at now, 24.
Yeah.
Even though I'm still wanting to chase that songwriting dream, it looks different than it did. And it looks different than at 4 years old, what I thought it would look like. But in a way, I have always knew I wanted to do it. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing all that. I have a couple questions.
Yes. I'm like roundabout. Yeah.
No, this is great. I've only been here 4 years, so not as long. But I'm curious how you, because if someone's listening that's chasing a dream.
Yeah.
Like, I think you know where I'm going.
I think I
but
do too.
How do you keep that, like, because I struggle with this.
How do you keep going?
And things that I want to aspire to do, and you're kind of, I read something, it was like, you're in the middle, and like, you're working towards it, you can see it, you can feel it, but like, how do you keep the fire going?
That's such a good question.
If you want to share.
I can share, but I could also, I'm just going to be honest in that it's such a struggle, and that there are days where there's tears. Mm-hmm. My therapist, I mean, she probably gets, it's like a cycle, probably about like once a month of like, should I even be doing this anymore? Why am I trying? Do I suck? Like, you know, and that's why I pay the big bucks, because then the following week we're like, you know what? I'm feeling really good about this, and she's rolling with it. But it's really, really difficult in a town like Nashville where there's a lot of talent. You have to remind yourself that talent doesn't get you a job.
No.
There's a lot more to it. My goal, if you were to ask me, you know, like, what's the perfect, you know, whatever, is to be a published songwriter. Like, I want to have a publishing deal. I want to be able to show up to work, write songs for a living that artists will be able to share with their fan bases, and that will be heard on stages and on the radio and win Grammys for commercial radio-friendly music, whether that's country or not. I like a lot of different genres. But in order to get there, it's really hard, because it's not like, you know, my dad's a doctor. It's not like, oh, you go to med school and then, you know, I'm going to do residency and then after that, I'm going to do that. That's not how the music business works. So when I first was visiting up here, you know, and I would come in high school with my mom, it was like, okay, I'm kind of seeing what's up. Then I wound up going to college here, and, you know, you think in your head, okay, well, by the time I'm going to graduate college, I'll kind of have it figured out. And then, you know, then there's a pandemic and things happen. And all of a sudden, you know, you're 24 and you're like, wow, I've been playing guitar since I was five. I've been writing music since I was 13. I've been more days than not done music for almost 20 years of my life. It's a lot of time, a lot of hours, yeah. a lot of money. And it's really scary to think about what if it doesn't, which is something you can and should think about because that is yeah. a reality, unfortunately. But something that I just was literally told last week by Mr. Herberson, he said, you know, you have a God-given gift. And I believe that. I also have a very strong like faith and higher power and whatnot. But he said, you have a God-given gift, but what you don't have is a God-given career. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my, like that just shook me a little bit.
Because you're not,
because
I'm interpreting what he's saying, but.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, and you don't know how God or your higher power intends on you honoring that gift in your lifetime. You might think you do.
That gave
and,
me chills.
Yeah, and so like I have a vision in my head of what God, why would God give me this ability to write music and come up with these words that people need to know how to, what to say and feel and music that matches that and not want me to go down this route. When God could say, hey, I'm giving you this gift. You don't even know because I'm in rooms that you're not in and see things you don't see. This, all this arena, things that you don't even know is an option that you can use that, right? It's an overwhelming thought because yeah. I'm like, yeah, but God, did you think about my thought?
And you're, what do you want me to
yes.
do?
Yeah. And I can still keep pursuing that. And that's the plan right now. But it's the idea of keeping your eye out. And when you feel like giving up and that sort of thing, remembering like you have a God-given gift. Do with that as, you know, you got to kind of wait and see. A lot of it's trust. And I struggle so much with the whole like faith over fear thing.
Yes.
Especially in this industry, there's a lot of no's. It's so hard to not take it personally. It's so hard to, you know, truly believe like, okay, if that was my opportunity, then it would have been me. Mm-hmm. And so thus I need to be proud and happy for those who've worked for it, you know? There's a couple quotes that stick with me a lot, which is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Mm-hmm. My band director used to say that in middle school. And it always, because I'm going to be honest, there's people in town who are the most talented people I've ever seen in my life. And they are independent, whether or not they want to be. And then I have people who have some big names backing them who I think maybe don't have as much natural talent, but they work their ass off. And so, yeah then you get to be in those rooms.
Yeah.
So that's one that sticks with me a lot. And then the other thing is just trying to, it's like, I hate that I'm even going to say it because I'm like, oh my God, Nikki, you have to listen to yourself, but giving yourself time, there's expectations are
you're so young. So I know.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to be yeah. not in a preachy way, but no. there is so much
that
time.
Is, but that I do have to remind myself that.
Yeah.
And I do have to remind myself that my timeline and how I see things going doesn't mean A, that they won't happen, or B, they might happen in a better way than I had imagined, right? There's like all these possibilities. And so I think what it comes down to is that, and this isn't, you know, when we were talking about more vaguely for anybody else who's trying to reach their dream, right? And
yeah,
just persevering and one thing at a time and celebrating the small wins, doing the day-to-day. I think about like, oh, I once prayed for what I have now. I have that yeah. like hanging up in my apartment. Like there was a time when all I wanted was to be able to say I went to Belmont and have a songwriting degree yeah. and, you know, like have a job that has a salary and like things like that.
Yeah.
Then now I'm just like, oh, well, that's not this next goal. So, oh, well.
So I relate to that so much.
Yeah. And so being able to like take a step back and be like, okay, but look at all these things I do have, a lot of gratitude.
Yep.
A lot of prayer.
Yep.
And then just a lot of crying, honestly. I mean, I stay crying.
I'm with you. But, I'm a crier.
But I mean, I go to therapy, thank See? God.
Yeah.
And my husband, thankfully, is also used to the swings that come with the norms of the music industry and just in the career that I want to pursue, right? It just comes with it.
Having someone supportive.
Very thankful. Yeah. yeah. I think as like creatives, we're all sensitive. That's like our superpower.
Yeah.
Because it gives you that same power that gives you the ability to write the words that people need to have heard and to yeah. match that to audio that's going to give you chills or make you cry or whatever. It's that same sensitivity is also what hurts us the most and what gets us into, you know, situations where we might not be doing what's best for ourselves because we're so sensitive and we care so much and we feel so much. And so I think that they're tied together. I think it's not one or the other. And I think that's what's special about creatives and artists and people who are in that world is that we all just feel like on that, on such a level, good or bad.
Yes. We feel very deeply.
Yes.
And what you were saying about taking things personal, it's so hard not to.
Yeah. Cause you're like, these are my words.
Yeah.
Like, this is my baby. This song that
you
I just
don't like
wrote.
It?
Yeah. What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah.
It's hard not to take it personally. It's also hard. This is something I'm unpacking in therapy, but like the idea of, this is a big one. Yeah. you can fail at something and it does not make you a failure.
Mm.
And
that's good.
That's possible. You could fail at a certain task, goal, whatever that you set for yourself, you know, social media numbers or streaming or yada yada, but it doesn't mean that Nikki's a failure.
No.
But it can get confusing. It can get confusing up there.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's hard to draw, like, to figure out those boundaries and figure out, like, okay, me as a person, my worth, all of that is not defined by my productivity.
Mm-mm.
However, it's okay that I value a lot of my time and my worth, and I think I'm talented, and thus I would like to be able to, you know, do as much as I can to get myself forward. I think those are all great things.
Yeah.
But it's, again, just like anything in life, right? It's like the balance, which is harder, you know, to do than you would think.
It is hard. And it's like, you made me think of this too, because in my 20s, like, I failed so many times. And it's just like, I can say it now, like, looking back, and you look back, and I'm sure you've experienced this too, and being like, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't have learned that lesson.
I know. I
wouldn't be me.
Hate it.
I wouldn't be sitting here right now having this conversation with you.
You know? Yes. When I was probably 18, I think, I was on one of my little Nashville visits, you know, every six-ish weeks. And I was in Bart's office at the Nashville Songwriters Association. And I remember I played him at the time was my best song. Solid song still. I stand by it. But he was like, play me your best song. And I did. And he's like, okay, well, 5 years from now, I'm going to ask you to play your best song. And you're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I thought that that was my best song.
Yeah.
And his point being was that I needed to go out and like live more life, have more to write about. Now, I don't think he said, go become an alcoholic. Maybe that's what I heard because that's what I did. But I was like, oh, you need me to get things to write about?
Yeah.
Give me a second. No, but so then I, through experience and lived traumas and different things, right? And all of those, like, oh, if this hadn't happened, that wouldn't have happened. Now I get those songs that have more stories to them and things that I've lived with and can talk about and can go through. And a lot of that is kind of what you were saying. Like, there were no's, but they were no's because there's better yeses further along waiting or something like that.
Totally. And I think, like, you just like getting to know you as a person and like going through that journey that you mentioned and like you got yourself out of it. Like I get emotional thinking about it because like that's huge.
I really appreciate that. I struggle with that because it's like on one end I want to celebrate it and it really does mean a lot when people can recognize that. But also sometimes I feel like because I choose to and I now have the tools and I'm choose to try to use them and cope in a healthy manner that sometimes people think I'm not struggling the way I used to struggle.
Yes.
And that's not always the case. I'm just like actively, as much as I can, let's try to not ruin Nikki's life. But I still be having the thoughts and there's still the issues. And I'm lucky enough just that I have people around me and whatnot that I'm like, okay, you know, one foot in front of the other. So I don't think it's like a conquered, I put it behind me thing, but much more manageable.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for that. But there's always...
Never fully goes away. I can't speak, you know, but I get that.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, even me saying you pulled yourself out of it, like, you still, I mean, anyone that faces any type of illness, anxiety, depression, like, it's not just a snap of your fingers, right? Like, it's...
It's an everyday.
It's every moment. And it's having good people around you and like knowing that there's always help. So yeah, but I am proud of you. And I know it's not easy, I can imagine. But even I don't know if I shared this with you, but I took some time from, and I feel fortunate because I can be the type of person that like has a drink or two and, mm-hmm. and stuff, because I know that is a real thing that people battle, not being able to do that. But even the time that I took a break from it, like the effects of it, it's just like, it affects all of us as far as like clarity and like creativity and mm-hmm. like internally knowing ourselves and all that. So that was, it's interesting to like not have it in your life for a little bit too.
It's hard to get to know you and to make like find like, I need to figure out how to be okay with, if not enjoy, Nikki being sober.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to be a dry drunk. I don't want to be like white knuckling it. And like just because I'm not actually putting liquor into my body, I'm still behaving in all of those mannerisms and obsessions as if I were to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still better than drinking, I guess, right? Because there's those physical things. But ideally, like you're living sober emotionally and physically and spiritually and mentally, like, which, I mean, nothing's ideal. Like I have, you know, by the grace of God, I have 5 years of since I last drank. But I've had emotional relapses. There's been times in sobriety where I've caught myself and I'm like, am I really living in the steps? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Why do I feel so itchy if I am praying how I'm supposed to do and I'm being of service and I'm doing all these things? There's like so many layers to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that that's normal, but it's scary though when it winds up just being you and you don't have the drink there, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're like, okay, now what? You know, do I like me?
It's wrong.
Am I uncomfortable? Why am I uncomfortable? What do I do with this uncomfortable feeling? Because I used to have an answer and that answer is alcohol. And I know that that's not my answer, but I don't know what my answer is.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Yeah. Yeah. No, and thank you for sharing that. Yeah. Anyone that's like, even if it's not sobriety, even if it's just about like mental health, like I'm sure hearing your story will help someone listening. So thank you for sharing it. I know it's not easy to like go there. So.
I feel like in the Nikki like pie, you know, it's like there's a slice of like mental health, there's a slice of sobriety, there's a slice of music, there's a slice of family. Like it's just the parts that kind of make what I am like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know we hadn't talked about it, but just how we came to even like know each other or meet. Andrea was one of my adult guitar students.
Yes.
And I respect that so much because like whenever I get an adult student, it tells me like you're taking time out of your own adult busy life, chasing your dreams, doing your job, being a lawyer, whatever it is, to do something that you want to do and that matters to you. And that says a lot. Like to me, that says a lot about a person to say like, hey, I'm going to set aside time and money on a weekly, biweekly, whatever, monthly basis just for me to get better at this thing I want to do.
Yeah.
And so like, I love that. And it's inspired me as an adult to like, be like, is there hobbies I want to get back into? And like some things you could just do because they're fun and you just want to do it and you don't have to do it because of any other reason. I have some parents who sometimes they try to get their kids to do lessons with me.
Yeah.
Which I'm always happy to do. I mean, I teach. That's kind of like my side hustle.
Yeah.
I'm a full-time teacher. And then I would love to be a songwriter full-time.
And you will.
Thanks. Manifesting.
Yes.
And I teach music lessons kind of on the side. And I've had some parents put their kids in the music lessons. And it's just so clear that this is not meant for them, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I ask and they're like, well, I just always wanted to learn guitar when I was younger. And then I'm like, great. Then let's have you learn guitar.
Yeah.
Because I can teach you an adult lesson. And if you've always wanted to learn guitar since you were younger and your parents couldn't or didn't, you know, I'm so sorry that that happened, but let's fix that.
Yeah.
But we don't have to project that onto our kids who maybe really want to be in soccer.
Yeah.
And don't want to play guitar, you know?
Exactly.
And so I think that like being an adult and choosing to do that sort of thing, like, I don't know, it immediately, I had so much respect for you because I was like, you're successful in your field and you're taking the time to do this. Like, it's badass.
Thank you. I need to get back with you.
But I'm just saying, like, it's cool.
It was, it was one of those things that, and I do think, like, social media and following things that like pump you up and inspire you and all of that. Like, I think it's been a combination of things throughout the years, mm-hmm. just being like, I don't know, I might've told you my story, but in COVID, when I was in Boston, let me know if I told you this,
no, you're
but
good.
I was, you know, my commute was gone, going to the gym after work was mm-hmm. gone, all these things. And I was an English major, always sang growing up, music is engraved in my soul, like yeah. similarly to you. Never played an instrument, but I was always the one singing. I sang Stand By Me at my 8th grade graduation.
I love it.
So that's funny that you played it. But yeah, I had all this free time. And I think I was 30. I think I was 29 or 30 at the mm-hmm. time. And I was just like, I have a great job. I'm grateful for it. But like, who am I? Like, what is my story?
Identity.
Like,
yeah.
what do I want to say? Like, how do I want to help people? What's my purpose? So I started writing again and I picked up the pen to paper again.
Yeah.
I was like getting back to creative writing and all that. So it was just in the last couple of years, just being like, how can I learn who I am? So like yeah. the guitar lessons and like a podcast and yeah. talking to people and having conversations.
Or even like your fitness journey
fitness,
too.
Like,
and I relate to that as well.
Yeah,
yeah,
and we'll get into that. But it's just like, start doing things that you loved as a kid or you were curious about. Mm-hmm. Like anyone that's listening, like you don't have to be 18. It's great if you knew at 18 or at 12 or yeah. whatever. And I also told, my family still says, like, I told everyone at the age of 5 I wanted to be a lawyer. And, like, I did it. But
done.
It's, you know, it's just funny. Like, you don't have to be any age. You can be 45 listening yep. to this and be like, I want to be, you know, I work in corporate yeah. and I always wanted to teach English. And you can do that. And I think it's, like, knowing that your path is your path, like you were saying. Like, it's curated just for us, whatever higher power you believe in, like, just follow your intuition. And I know it can sound silly.
And it's scary.
Yes.
But you just have to do it scared.
Yes.
Like, it's okay to be scared, but you still have to just do it scared, take a deep breath. Lately, I've been doing everything scared is what I feel.
Yeah. And that's good. Like,
yeah.
What? If you want to share.
Yeah.
Like, is there something
well,
that comes
just,
to mind?
So I've been like, I'm rebranding. So I got yeah. married this past summer.
Congratulations.
And thank you.
Gorgeous.
And, you know, I've always been Nikki Lichtstein. That's my maiden name. But I changed my last name legally to yeah. Allen. And
that's why I introduced you like that. Cause
which
I, didn't
I appreciate.
Know. Yeah.
And it's just hard because for 15, 20 years, whatever, of my music, everything has been under Nikki Lichtstein.
Yeah.
And I'm now wanting to be known as Nikki Allen. And so what that looks like is a new logo, because my logo was my old initials, and a new website, because my website domain was Lichtstein. And
yeah.
I can't change my Instagram handle right now because of Meta. I'm being grandfathered in with a verification process, so that has to stay Lichtstein. And
okay.
so it gets really complicated. And so lately, I just this past week got my new logo back and my website's being completed and my business cards just got printed. But like just being scared
yeah.
and then people are like, I'm like, I'm just scared. I'm scared to like do it. What if it doesn't look good? I'm scared to post a song. What if they don't like? Just like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So lately I've been having to remind myself of that and also remind myself that you grow when you're uncomfortable.
Yep.
So it feels scary because you're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you made me think of this too. When I moved here, my best friend said this to me, here we grow again. Because it's like Ooh. Starting something new, like you're rebranding. You're
Andrea, that could be a song.
I know.
I think we
should
need to
write
that.
It? Ooh. Here we grow again. Here we grow. But like you are going through it. The
yeah.
only, and another friend said to me, like, walk through the doors that open, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, just go through it. It doesn't mean it has to be forever. Like, it can just be an experience, and maybe that's leading you to something else.
Yeah. Maybe it's part of your origin story.
Yeah.
You know, and I was talking to Bart the other week, and I was, like, just having one of those moments with him. Like, I was like, you're my mentor. You've known me for a long time. You know, I feel like I'm doing everything I can, and yet here we are, you know? And he goes, and in 2 years, you could be having a number one party on Music Row, and part of your story could be like, hey, I had to go be a special education teacher at a Title I public elementary school for 2 years before I was able to sign a publishing deal.
Yeah.
Like that could just be part of the lore.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you don't know what twists and turns are going to take, you know, and which is scary.
Yeah.
But the unknown is- I've really been leaning into like faith over fear. That might be my next tattoo. I don't know yet.
I like that.
I already have more than-
You do?
Than I would say my folks would have wanted me to. So
I don't have any yet. And I'm my mom does listen to this, but I've been thinking about
all of the ones I have are meaningful though.
Yes.
And so I'm not one to just like, oh my God, that's cute, put on my body. Although if you are, more power to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're all good reminders.
And I like that faith over fear because another thing I'm sure you can relate to, like, I don't want to look back and be like, I didn't try because I was scared. That will hurt more than trying.
Or if you quit and then you're like, oh, I wish I, or should I, or could I, or all the ifs, whats.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And.
Right. It's like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take or whatever that like, quote is.
Yeah.
But I love that for you though.
You know, and it's just like.
That you're even ballsy enough to do it.
It's just, I'm putting a rep in. Like you're putting reps in, asking people to write or asking a publishing deal.
Yeah.
Or sorry, publishing company to have.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm that brave. Like, hey, you want
to
sign me?
No, but asking them to have coffee.
Yeah.
And being anything, like, here's my portfolio. Would love to keep in touch. Yeah. Like you doing those things, like you're putting the reps in. Yeah. And I know it's frustrating. I'm right there with you. But like we have to ask, even if we feel silly.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
You have to advocate for yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you don't believe in you, who's going to believe in you type of thing?
Yeah.
And I'm lucky, like, the girls that are in, there's some incredible women in Nashville, I would say. You included.
You too.
We have mutual co-writers that we both enjoy. And I think when you can get a tribe like that around you, they can encourage you when you're feeling like not, when you're not feeling encouraged and kind of lift each other up. And also, like, you know, we have these conversations. You're like, oh my gosh, I can relate so much to this. I can relate so much to that. That's half the thing is being like, half the people here feel the same way, right?
Yeah.
And if we were to talk about it, then maybe it would be less scary or whatever.
And one other thing, like, just made me think of with you is, like, think about Lainey Wilson right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure she had her moments here that she was like, what am I doing?
Yep.
You know? And, like, she's incredible and she's talented and she's, I feel, I've never met her, but she seems genuine, you know, and it's like just not giving up as hard as it is, like not giving up.
And there's times where I can say like, well, I really thought I was ready. I really thought that version of Nikki was like, if you had given her this opportunity to her, she would have, you know, ran with it. And maybe that's true, but it is also helpful to know, like, okay, and maybe the reason why 19-year-old Nikki wasn't put in that position is because she did need to, you know, go to Vandy Psychiatric for a second. And she did need to end the relationship she was in. And she did need to be sober. And that now I'm in a better opportunity to receive that what I would like to receive, right? I'm setting myself up for more success. And that maybe a couple years from now, I'd say, oh, well, I thought 24-year-old Nikki was ready to go, but whatever, I can't, I don't know what's coming next, you know?
I couldn't agree more. Because even, like, there's so many things, like, I probably would have screwed up, you know, if I did it a while ago. And it's just, like, remembering that. Like, I try and remember this, too, and maybe this will be helpful to hear, but, like, even if it's a no, it could still be a not right
now. Yeah, it's like a not yet.
Yeah, yes, a not yet. Like these podcast guests that I want to have that I look up to, like, I'm probably not ready to interview Jay Shetty, although you're more than welcome to come on.
You're like, I could make myself ready.
You know, it's just like remembering that, like, I've only been doing it for a year.
Yes.
Like, I have to put my time in. I have to learn. I have to keep getting better at it and learning. And
My older sister, she just like, took a leap of faith in her career and she's doing incredible right now. And I'm so proud of her, but it's the same thing of like, she just spoke at universities that did not accept, like she didn't get accepted to when she applied to. And now she's speaking at these universities. You know what I mean?
So
fast
cool.
forward 10 years. So that's very inspirational to me to be like, okay, just because right now it's not exactly what I think. And
could be better.
That too.
It could
like, even be better.
Like in her experience, that's even better.
I know. You know? Yeah. I'm like, pop off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very close with my siblings. Both of them are super, super hardworking, very talented in their fields, and like inspire me to try to do as much as I can with my music, because I'm like, oh my gosh, look at my sisters.
Yeah.
You know, even though they don't do music, it's still.
It's special to have. I don't have
siblings.
I have a brother, an older brother, but I don't have sisters. My best friend Becky is like the closest thing to a sister, but I feel like having like sisters that you've gone through and you can just.
Yeah.
Like, has four sisters. So just how they support each other and the bond that you have. And like you said, like even if you don't do the same things, like you just have those two people that probably know you better than most people or anyone.
Middle child syndrome is real, but there are pluses to the sisters. And I think also now that we're all in our 20s, it kind of seems like we're closer in age than we ever were before. Mm. We're all 4 years apart. So like 28, 24, 20. And I was just home for spring break and I was like at the beach with my little sister and we were just chatting and she's like, you know, you're not that much older than me. And in my head, I'm like, I've never been that much older than you. Like it's been the same age difference since you came into the world.
Yeah.
But it's like that realization of like, okay, and my older sister who's, you know, she got married last year as well. You know, getting to be in a lot of those same like life cycle events in that time was something I really cherished. I'm like, that was super special.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Yeah.
I love that. That's great that you like have each other to go through everything with.
Yes.
Should we chat your fitness journey?
Oh my gosh,
because
we can.
You've been inspiring me about
Stop.
That. She is so dedicated. You've been working, I'll let you talk about it.
Okay.
You've been working with a trainer and all that.
Yes, I was. I am not anymore. However, she definitely put me in the right direction and I'm forever thankful. Yeah, so basically fitness for me, I would say my health as a whole has been something I've really had to spend time working on because when I don't, quickly a lot of things unravel. But growing up, in terms of physical health, like I was never a sporty kid. I didn't do soccer. I didn't do football, whatever. But I like, you know, dabbled in gymnastics and cheerleading and I loved dance. And so I did ballet and hip hop and jazz. And that was my thing. Like 25 hours a week of dance. I mean, it moved my body. It was great. And did dance all the way through the end of high school. Started college at the University of Miami before I had transferred to Belmont. And that was the first time that I didn't have, you know, a PE, a daily like regimented into my schedule, move your body, right? And there's like the whole freshman 15, call it what you want. There's a lot of aspects at play there. But for the first time, I wasn't being told, hey, at this time, you're meeting these people to run a mile or whatever. And so by the end of freshman year, I had wound up, you know, putting on some weight and part of that was from drinking and other things. And I transferred and all that to say that when I first got sober, whether I noticed it or not, I was turning a lot to like Ben and Jerry's. Every time I wanted vodka, I was like, you know what's not going to get me arrested? Ice cream. Is that trading one for another, a different addiction? Maybe in ways, yes. Is that addiction at the time safer than what I was doing? Yeah, did not require fake ID. There was no law involved. Like, but a year of avoiding drinking by doing whatever it takes, including a personal pint, I put on about 50 pounds in a year. And it was the heaviest I'd ever been. And I didn't know my body to be like that before, right? Yeah. Like I just hadn't been what I lived. I'd always been kind of curvy, but I'd always like rocked the curves. Like
I've been there.
Knew I had a booty, but like whatever.
Yep.
And for the first time, I kind of was like, oh my gosh, there's been a global pandemic. I stopped drinking. I just put on all this weight. I went through a breakup. Like, and so I was kind of at a place where I was like, I don't know what to do. Because in the past, those fixes, which may have been like, you know, diets or there's things that I did that maybe I don't stand by. But at the time, I was looking for like what could make me feel better quickly and whatever. But I think, so I was 20, I was graduating college early, and I was the heaviest I'd ever been. And I was with my husband at the time, by the way, which I always like, he was with me through thick and thin.
Yeah.
Like literally. Oh, sickness and health, like seen me through some really hard times. Which is the kind of person you need to have if you're going to spend the rest of your life with that person. But
yeah,
so I know he's like loved my body throughout, you know. And I remember I got some weight off, but it was it wasn't even about being big, but it was like I wanted to just feel better. Yes. And I remember when I was graduating the partial hospitalization program over at Vanderbilt that they let us go on a walk one day. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they took the whole little crew out yeah. and they let us go on a walk with some of the nurses and we were doing some like grounding techniques and stuff like that. But I just remember how nice it was to just walk outside and them saying like, you can just go on a walk outside. Like your exercise doesn't need to look like what it had looked like my whole growing up, right? And I was never taught how to like do the things at the gym. So I got like get on a treadmill, but I mean, I didn't know what to go where and it was nerve-wracking.
Me either.
And so that's really how I started my fitness journey was just walking. Started walking to the park, which is a little more than a mile from where I live.
Yeah.
And then after walking, you know, longer distances, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get ankle weights. Okay. Started walking distances with ankle weights. You know what? I'm going to get heavier ankle weights. Okay. Leveled that up. Started going, you know, and that's really how I started doing it.
I love this because this is going to be so helpful for people.
I hope so.
This is good.
But yeah, Thank you. When people ask me like, oh, can I get your workouts? I said, I'm happy to share with you what I do. But when I tell you that like that's going to be too overwhelming and not realistic.
Yeah.
Because if somebody had given me that at the time when I was really just needed to walk, I would have been like, whoa, I can't do that. And maybe it sounds bad, like ongoing walking, but when I tell you that's really what it did for me. Mm-hmm. And then I started having like, I'm a playlist girl. Yeah. So I will make a playlist for anything and everything, you know, like crying in the shower on a Tuesday, whatever it may be. So I'd have specific different playlists for different like mindsets of when I'm walking, I want to get into. And it started to work on both my mental health and my physical health at the same time, which for me, I was like, oh, well, this is very good use of my time. If I have to go to an AA meeting and it's a mile and a half from here, I can run a mile. Then I get my mile done out of the way. I can do a cool down half a mile walk. Okay. And then I can go to AA, spiritually fit, physically fit, mentally fit, done, mm-hmm. done. And then let's get dinner on the way back. Like I love being able to just get that all out of the way.
You're doing like stacking.
Yes. Yeah, habitual like stacking. Yes. Yeah. So I started doing that, drinking a lot of water. And then on my 22nd birthday, so all that to say, I had lost a little bit here and there and I was walking.
Yeah.
On my 22nd birthday. Yes, but I was not where I wanted to be. On my 22nd birthday, I went to Disney with my now husband. I love Disney. And
it is magical.
And, you know, we had our day, whatever. And I felt like chafing. Like I felt chub rub. And I was just unhappy about it because I was like, the happiest place on earth. You know, I'm with this person I love. It's my birthday. I'm not drinking, but like this is uncomfortable. Like this is, it's physically making me uncomfortable. I don't like that I'm struggling with this.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm going to reach out for some, like somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah.
Shocking idea. So I put out in this Nashville Girls group page, if people had anybody they recommended in town that they worked with. And there was a bunch of people. I mean, there's no limit of resources here.
For sure.
I wound up coming across a woman named Danny D. Fitness. And she is like a very body positive brand. And she really preaches about like loving yourself throughout and fighting for what you want and mm-hmm. all of those things. And I really resonated a lot with her message. And she really helped me not think about wanting to be skinny, but about wanting to be strong. And when I made that mindset shift,
I love that.
I like could not be stopped. Like I was like, I am strong. I know I'm strong because I've done some really hard things, even if it's not physically hard, right? And so then the idea for me, just like, yeah, I might as well get strong physically to match how strong I am
mentally.
And so I started viewing my workouts instead of like, oh, I have to go to the gym. In my head, it was like, I'm going to therapy because I never cancel a therapy session. Mm-hmm. I know that's like vital to keep me around. I don't cancel AA. So just like AA and therapy are non-negotiables for me and for people in my life, they know me like, hey, most things I can move around, but on Tuesdays at this time and on Thursdays at that time, this is what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Then the gym just became another non-negotiable. It just became like, this is a physical therapy appointment. That's really how I framed it in my head. It's like, this is physical therapy.
That's great.
And then I would go. And so I started seeing her. She whipped my ass, I have to say. I wouldn't say I was out of shape, but like that first time we met,
yeah,
I almost puked. And I hadn't almost puked in a workout since like, sixth grade. Wow. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, since, like, I remember, like, one dance practice where I was like, whoa. No, she was going, pushing me.
Yeah.
And I needed it, though. And yeah. I was like, you know what? If I'm going to spend money and time doing it,
100%.
This is the person to do it with. And like I said, it was really slow. And she has a podcast of her own. Y'all should go check her out, whatever.
Yes, because you spoke on it,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's called the Love Your Body podcast. And she has, you know, different things that I still am involved in, but I no longer use her as my trainer. But she really got me set up on a path to success to the point where now I feel confident of I can go to the gym and I know what I need to do in the gym, you know, whether that's shoulders or back or legs. I know that I can do cardio and I can go on a run, even though I don't particularly love running, but I do make myself do it.
I don't love running.
You know, there's different things. More. But I also, the biggest win for me, I guess, is just that I now celebrate just moving my body.
I love that.
Because I used to be like, if I didn't go to the gym, I would just say like, it's on the couch all day, whatever. Well, now I can see like, okay, I don't feel like going to the gym today, but I can choose to go walk to Walgreens instead of drive to Walgreens. Mm-hmm. And I can make that a conscious decision. And then when I'm gonna walk back, I'm gonna take the stairs up to our apartment instead of taking the elevator. And then when I drive to work, I'm gonna park a little bit further away so I have to get more steps in to get into the building. Like, there's just day-to-day things that help you move your body better that make you feel better. So yes, the workouts kind of added up, a lot of drinking water. My eating habits changed. And it's at a place where I never thought it would be. And I'm really thankful because I'm not on a diet. I'm not on a program. Mm, yeah. I don't count my anything. I just eat when I'm hungry.
Yep.
And I eat every day. And I eat ice cream and I eat French fries. And I also eat cucumbers and celery.
Yeah.
And it's taken me a really, really long time to unlearn a lot of stuff from a lot of different, just, you know, early 2000s growing up.
Preach.
Culture.
Yeah, it was a time.
But it was a time. And that right now I'm happy with my physical health, my body. I'm thankful for my body. I try to, you know, be like, I get to walk. I get to go to AA meetings, right? I don't have to.
No.
When you get that mindset switch, a lot can change.
100%. And like, you made me think of a lot of different things because similarly, like unlearning my relationship with food now and that it's fueling my body and that I want to eat healthy and I choose to buy organic because I want the best that I can possibly get, like the best nutrients and all that. Like the unlearning because I think like, okay, it's a Saturday night and I'm craving ice cream. I'm going to go downstairs and get some. Like I'm not going to eat it every day.
Yeah.
But when I'm craving it, I'll eat
it. Yeah, do it. Yeah, exactly.
I didn't do all the work.
Guilty about it. Yes.
Yeah.
Like for me, like there's no good foods and bad foods.
No.
And so like if it's a Tuesday night and I'm like, oh, I really want a cookie. I'm like, okay, well, I can spend a half an hour beating myself up whether or not I should order crumble.
Yeah.
Or I'm like, I'm an adult. I have free will. Go get a cookie.
Yeah.
Eat the cookie. Enjoy the cookie. Mm-hmm. Recognize that you worked a long day.
You wanted it.
And then tomorrow, if we're feeling the same way, maybe let's have something that's not a cookie.
Yeah.
And like being like, okay, wow. I don't have, you know what I mean? Like crazy. Or something that's worked for me really well is because I have a really bad sweet tooth. Like
me
that's
too.
My husband, like he loves like a queso, like cholesterol moment, but I'm like the diabetes, you know, like give me the sugar.
Yeah.
And so
chocolate is mine.
Yes. So I'll get like one thing of dessert. Let's use Ben & Jerry's because why not?
Yeah.
Let's say I get one pint, but then I'm like, okay, well, that is your dessert until you go grocery shopping again. So if you choose to have that pint in one sitting, nobody's punishing you. That's okay, Nikki. You bought the pint. You're going to eat it.
Yeah.
But then you just have to live with and realize that when you want dessert later in the week that you had dessert and you chose to have it all at once.
Yeah.
And then if you would—
I'm only laughing.
If you would like to further decide to then get yourself an additional dessert— that's okay. That's a decision further down the line. Maybe it's needed. Maybe it's warranted. I don't know what kind of day yet. But it typically, beginning of the week, me is then able to be like, I'm just going to have a little bit of this ice cream every day. And then that's how moderation works.
Yeah.
But for me, it helps me to set it up that way.
I love that. And I really do think this is going to be helpful. Honestly, it's helping me. I'm learning a lot. And even what you said about like, if I don't feel like going to the gym— I'll like put on, I have this app that I have because if I'm traveling like that, I can still do Pilates. So I'm like, okay, there's a 28 minute class that I can just put my mat on. I'll put a playlist on and like I still move my body. Or similar to you, like take a quick walk or whatever. Like just remembering that, you should keep those appointments with yourself and with your trainer, you know, when you've made the commitment to. But if there's, you know, on that fifth or sixth day of the week, like, and you're like, okay, I don't want to rest, but I don't want to go lift. Like, just do something. There's other ways.
And that's been a huge thing for me too, is the whole like all or nothing mindset, right? So in the food of like, oh, well, I ate a chocolate chip, so I might as well just the whole day, let's do whatever. Not only in stopping that thinking, but in stopping the, well, I only have 15 minutes to exercise. So why go to the gym? Well, 15 minutes is better than 0 minutes.
Yep.
And I've had, that's so hard for me because I used to be like, if I'm not going to PR and do the best reps I've ever done in my life and wear the cutest gym set I've ever worn and go, then why am I going to do it?
Yeah.
And that has been something I've really had to work on in so many arenas of my life. Like even AA, I was talking to my sponsor. I was running late to a meeting. So I was like, maybe I just shouldn't go.
Yeah.
And she was like, some AA is better than no AA.
Yeah.
And I view that way about exercise. I will, 100%. If I'm like, oh, I really want to watch this YouTube thing, and that's going to be 20 minutes worth of my time.
Mm-hmm.
The same 20 minutes are going to go whether or not I choose to walk while I'm watching that video on a treadmill.
Yeah.
Or do planks while I'm watching the video or sit on the couch while I'm watching the video. But something's better than nothing.
Yes.
And that's like, I've been trying to apply that to a lot of arenas in my life. Like something's better than nothing.
Like moving the needle any little bit. Like I've been, I forget where I even saw
it. It can
this.
Get paralyzing though.
Yeah.
When you analyze some, it's like called paralysis by analysis, but it's like you overthink it so much, which I am a chronic overthinker. My dad always says, think it over, don't overthink it. And I'm like,
that's a good point.
Yeah. But like, you know.
And it's also like, I have a friend that has said this to me and he gives me great feedback, but he's like being a creative. I don't know if you relate to this, but like, he's like, you eventually do the thing, but you take a really long time to execute.
That's a good way of putting
it. And it's so true. Like being a creative, I feel like, I'm not speaking for all creatives, but some of us, we don't nail the execution piece. Like we have all these ideas, but it's tougher to. So I just try and tell myself, like whether it's applying it to fitness, therapy, the podcast, music, 1% every day, do something. And it. Maybe, it's great if I can sit down and bang out deep focus work for 3 hours. Yeah, that has happened.
Absolutely,
But if there's a day I can only do a quick email or whatever, like it's better than nothing.
Yes.
So I love that. We're almost at an hour.
Oh my gosh.
This has been so fun. I just want to see what else I have that I wanted to ask
you. Whatever you're feeling.
I feel like we've hit a lot of it. So I did want to ask you, this is probably towards music, but it can be any area of your life. What would be your dream collab? I think we know your dream is to be a published songwriter, which will happen. Yeah. But is there a dream collab that you've manifested?
Oh my gosh. I wouldn't say there's one. I would say there's a few humans that if I had the opportunity to collaborate with them, I would be extremely fulfilled.
Yeah.
John Mayer has, and listen, I'm a Taylor Swift fan, so let's not even start with that. We're not going to go into the drama there.
Yeah.
Let's just take it as I am a songwriter, skill, talent, not in the Swifty mania, because I love Taylor. So we're not going to do the whole John Taylor situation. But I love John Mayer's music as a guitarist. His guitar playing is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely had influence on me. His lyrics are great. I love his storytelling. His music makes me feel something.
Yeah.
And, you know, even if it's like daughters, right? Like that was the dance that I danced with my dad to at my bat mitzvah, right? That gives you everybody such a feeling when they listen to that.
Yeah.
Or there's like slow dancing in a burning room, dreaming with a broken heart. Like it just puts you in such a place. I've gotten to see him live. But if I ever got to play with him or write with him,
you guys would tear it up.
I would just like, or even if he just wanted to like let me solo or I could vamp on the back and he can solo, like any of that's fine.
Yeah.
John's people call my before.
Yeah. John Mayer, if you're listening.
Okay. Also, Billy Joel. is top tier for me.
Yep.
I actually have met Billy Joel.
Yeah?
He probably doesn't remember, and that's okay. At a random restaurant in Florida, he was like having food and I bothered him because I was like, oh my God, that's Billy Joel.
Yeah.
But he was very kind. He did take a picture with me. He did talk to me. I told him that I wanted to do music. I was also, I would say most of his fans probably aren't, you know, like 13-year-old kids approaching you. But I don't know. The two of them are incredible. But I also, I mean, Taylor Swift, Meghan Trainor, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
All About That Bass came out when I think I was like a freshman in high school. And it was like such a moment in like the like own it, rock it, but also in her songwriting and in her being able to take like that jazzy kind of stuff and put it into pop. Like a lot of that I resonate with too. So she's pretty cool.
Yeah, she paved a cool lane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Can't wait for them all to happen.
Oh my gosh.
And then the other one I wanted to ask you is if you could go back. And I say 18 for a reason, because I think at 18, we do know who we are. And then we kind of like start adulting and the world takes us somewhere else. So not that far away for you. But if you could tell 18-year-old Nikki anything, what would you say to her?
Ooh, drink less. No, I mean, I'd probably tell her, and this is a mantra that I took a lot of trauma and a lot of years of things to go through to develop. But that once I've landed on it, it's brought me a lot of comfort. And so if I could tell her, it would be to try again tomorrow.
Mm.
And those are three words that on my worst days, whether that be in recovery or a hard day in the music business or a hard day at the gym or a hard day, whatever, that when I'm able to reason with myself that the only thing expected of me to do is to try again tomorrow, then that's like enough and I'm okay.
That's amazing.
And it's like, if you tell me like, oh, you have to go take a shower, then you need to do this, and that is too much. But if you say, hey, can you try again tomorrow? Which essentially is all being asked of you, right? Go to sleep, wake up, try again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't kill yourself.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, you know what? That's a reasonable ask. If I want to try again tomorrow, like I could picture me asking that of my student, like, can we try tomorrow?
Yeah.
And that's almost how I picture it being said to me. And thankfully, you know, I'm still here today. So every time I've asked myself that, the answer is yes. Even if I'm like, but I'm tired, but I'm weak, but I'm whatever. If I'm like, just try again tomorrow. And so I would want to tell 18-year-old Nikki that, because that also, I'm like, I've always wanted to get tattooed on me. Like, try again tomorrow is T-A-T. I'm like, oh, it's a tat.
Yeah.
But I don't know that. And then maybe just like, a little less vodka.
Yeah.
For me. Yeah. 18 Nikki was really like, her and Tito's were besties.
No, I mean, I can relate too in college. Like, I think that's why I don't even, and we're not making a joke out of it, guys. Like, we understand this is a real thing.
No, I literally have such bad dark humor because it's the only way I can cope with my life. So
yeah.
If you know me, you know that that's where I'm at. But I
love it. I love the try again tomorrow. Cause I think anyone can like, we've all had days like this that I'm like, I wanted to be productive today.
Yeah.
And I like binged a new show on Netflix. And then I'm like, you know what? I needed that day. You know, and tomorrow I'll get up and I'll do what I wanted to do and all those things. Like, I'm not saying to slack every day, but like honor where you're at. And that's, I feel like what try again tomorrow is getting at. And I really like that.
Thank you.
Yeah. I did. I had someone flip it to me before on like, what would you say?
Yeah. What would you say?
And I think I said, I feel compelled to share it with you. Just keep trying. Like, just try those things. Like, try the new things. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be an end-all, be-all, you know? Because I think at 18, we're also like, you have to know what you want to do. Pick your major.
Overwhelming period of time.
Yeah, and it's like, just try. Just, you know, do different things and, like, learn who you are. Because I think at 18, it's just, like, confusing.
I'm so glad that I'm not 18-year-old me anymore. You know what I mean? Like, 18-year-old me would think I'm quite lame, to be honest. But also, there wasn't a version of 24-year-old Nikki that was alive and existed and was healthy the way that mindset of me was, though. You know what I mean? Like, there wouldn't have been this in my head as an idea.
Yeah.
And so for that, I'm kind of thankful.
You've come a long way. That's for sure. That's for sure.
And that's on growth.
That's on growth. Okay, last one. I know you mentioned a couple of quotes, but if there's a piece of advice, another quote that's come to you, anything that you would like to leave listeners with as a message of hope and...
Well, just as a message of hope is that if you're, doesn't matter if you're in the music industry, doesn't matter if you are going through a health, wellness journey, whatever, but you are so loved and worthy and capable. And I have done affirmations daily for years now. And I'm not saying they always work, but you should say them anyway, because maybe one day they will work. And I just want everyone to know who's listening, who took the time to listen, and thank you. I appreciate that. But you are loved, you are worthy, you are capable. And so I just want that to be what sticks with people. And you should check out my music.
Yes. Yes. Where can they find you?
You could find me at NikkiAllenMusic.com.
Yep.
Or my Instagram is at Nikki, N-I-K-K-I dot Lickstein, L-I-C-K-S-T-E-I-N. And I have some songs that other artists in town are putting out that I've written on. So you should check that out. And hopefully I could see y'all in Nashville sometime.
Yes. Because you play rounds pretty frequently.
Yes. I got one tomorrow. Of course, when this comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have playing on Saturday. I play wherever they'll have me in town. So
yeah. Be sure to follow her. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for being such a light. I'm so grateful
having me.
The universe brought us together in life.
I'm glad that it came together when it was supposed to.
Yay. And as always, guys, I am sending you all the love and light in the world, and we'll see you next time. Bye.